Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Grace and peace. Good morning to you. We'd like to welcome you to our Apostolic Network conference call, Lean Apostolic Network, acronym LEAN, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries, an outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries, and you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.socmi.com. That's www.socmi.net, excuse me, not .com, www.socmi.net. Today we will be discussing, when God is silent, what is he saying? Psalms 46 and 10. You know, many people are praying today, and they're not hearing back from God like they used to. Things aren't happening in an immediate and express way like they may have come accustomed to. So what is God saying in his silence? We're going to talk about that today. So come back and join us after this short worship with John Thurlow from IHOP Church. Grace and peace.
So no reservations, no war, but just an open door in my heart. Let there be no reservations, no walls, but just an open door in my heart. Because I want to be all that you decide in my heart. I want to give all that's inside of my heart. I'm gonna give all that's inside of my heart. I'm gonna give all that's inside of my heart.
Door in my heart, because I'm gonna give all
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'd like to welcome you once again to Lion Eagle Apostolic Network, held here every Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries and Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International. Today we will be discussing on the topic, when God is silent, what is he saying? You know, it's real awesome in the times that we're in right now, that many are trying to operate on things of a former time. You know, the word is true. We know the word is all true. But as we read the Bible, we can read certain scripture that do not apply in this time that we're in. And when I say do not apply, meaning that the season of time of things causes that scripture not to apply. And it applied in another season, but it doesn't apply in this season. As God is making many shifts in our lives, it's still dealing with God bringing correction to the body of Christ and shaping us up, preparing us to be the bride that we may meet our Lord and Savior, hallelujah, in that glorious day. So today we're going to turn in our Bibles to Psalms 46 and 10. Let's go in our Bibles to Psalms 46 and 10. Father God, in your mighty name, Jesus, we thank you right now for your word. God, we thank you once again for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to share the grace that you've placed in our life through your word, bringing understanding and illumination to your purpose and your plan for us in these days and these times, knowing how we ought to carry ourselves that we may be able to fulfill the assignment. We ask all of these things in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Psalms 46 and 10, you know, anyone that's read the Bible, been around the Bible, heard the word preached in some time or another in your life, you've either read, studied, or heard Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, every time God began to bring a shaping and a cutting and a pruning and a fixing, calling his people back into a divine and holy order, we always find God coming in a silent season. When people prayed, you know, God would answer and show forth great and mightily amongst God's enemies. But, you know, David talked about the time where he would cry out to the Lord. We see in his prophetic psalms and his worship unto the Lord that he would cry out to the Lord in song, and he would speak about God not showing up. Where are you, Lord? Not feeling his presence, not feeling the tangible touch of God, feeling destitute, feeling hopeless, feeling uncovered and unprotected. And the Lord would remind him that through that process, God is being exalted. Hallelujah. The earth is knowing that he is Lord and God Almighty. You know, calamity is happening and different troubles are happening. You know, right now, presently in our state in America, we're dealing with these financial tidal waves. You know, people call it tsunamis, and you know, whichever way you categorize it, it's a mess when it comes to financial. But God is saying to his people, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. See, things got to get a certain level for us to see that God is totally in control. In Isaiah 2 and 11, the word says, the eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled and the pride of men brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Hallelujah. God is exalting himself in the midst of these times where things seem like they keep getting lower. You know, there was a prestigious rating that this country had, and that rating is lost. Hallelujah. It's all symbolic of God not being pleased with the behavior of those in the land. And it's not just the government. God said that he sets one up and sets another down. Every place that is instituted in position, God is given the authority, no matter how wicked or evil or how good or how pleasant the person is inside of that position. But we know the foundation and the base of a nation being changed is based on the unification of the believers in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The going down of what's happening in America has everything to do with what's going on inside of God's house. Why is God silent? And what is he saying? Hallelujah. When God is silent, what is he saying? Hallelujah. He's saying that he's given men opportunity to correct themselves. Hallelujah. Because he's given us power and authority. He's given us grace. Hallelujah. He's given us the opportunity to operate all of his attributes and abilities. But if God has to step in, hallelujah, there is no need for you to hear anything from him. You know, it's like a child. Once you cross that place, there's no sense in praying and asking daddy, you know, what's going on. He's not going to say nothing to you. He's just going to come in, and he's going to bring the correction, and he's going to bring the rebuke. Hallelujah. When God is silent, what is he saying? First of all, God is letting us know that he's not happy with what we're doing. We're praying the same old way, asking the same old thing, doing things the same old way, and thinking we're going to get a different result. You know, I was always told, if you want to get something you never had, you got to do something you never did. Hallelujah. And there are things that's not being done in the body of Christ. It has been happening in spurts, but it has not really happened in the image of where we see it in Scripture, and that's the body coming together as a full unit. Hallelujah. All barriers. Right now with the financial crunch, people are crossing barriers. They're asking for help from different denominations. Hallelujah. They're not just depending to do their own little thing because somebody a long time ago didn't like something what someone said and they started their own thing. Hallelujah. You know, we still got all these breakups. Hallelujah. But, you know, they had a song, Break Up to Make Up. It's time to make up. Hallelujah. It's time for us to unite. And God is silent because he's looking at us. You know, a parent doesn't come into and intervene in every situation between their children. They watch to see how they settle it and how they work it out. Hallelujah. So God remains silent, and what he's saying is, you work it out. Hallelujah. You take the things that I've given you that you've used for evil and now begin to do good once again, and I will bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless God. Hallelujah. You know, Psalms 103 says, 100 and verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God identifies us as being part of his possession. Hallelujah. And so he's watching, he's looking, but he's not saying a thing. Hallelujah. Because he's given us opportunity to work it out. Because if he steps in and intervenes, hallelujah, you know, the old way they always used to say that, you know, God, you know, deliver them any way you do it. And some people would say, you don't need to confess that because the way he do it, you may not like it. Hallelujah. But the way God is going to have to change the situation and may have to change the situation, people not going to like it. You know, people in this day and time, while God is silent and things are shifting and things are getting worse and troubles are happening on every hand, people are trying to hold afloat by having a confession that they feel they're confessing positive. But, you know, Paul let us know the state of his life. He said, I'm not letting you know the state of where I am. I'm feeling destitute. I'm feeling broken. I'm feeling at the edge. I'm not saying that to bring you trouble and dismay, but I'm saying that so that you could be encouraged that I suffer with you. Hallelujah. See, we don't see nobody suffering with us because everybody's trying to act like they're not suffering. Glory be to God. But at the same time, they want to go pray to God and wonder why he is silent. Hallelujah. The second reason why God is silent, because people pretend to be something that they're not. Hallelujah. The reason why he doesn't answer is because people pretend to be something that they're not. If you pretend and act like all your circumstances is well and you don't need God, why are you praying for him to intervene into your life? Because he's not going to show up. He's not welcomed in your life. You've already made a proclamation by your actions that, God, I'm okay and I don't need you. Hallelujah. So he remains silent. Glory be to God. He doesn't intervene. He doesn't say anything. He lets you work out your own troubles on your own because you have decided that you have come far enough that you don't need God. Now, let's look at another reason why God is silent. God is silent because he has supplied the finances and the leaders for this time pre us coming into it. You know, as I was studying this week, I began to examine how God would make those prior to a famine, he would prepare them, and though it wouldn't look like what it didn't look like, what are they being prepared for? You know, Joseph had a dream of his brothers bowing down to him. That's all it was. They bowed down to him. And they was like, nobody could see into this. Because, you know, classically, I always tell people this. When people misinterpret something that someone says, they never take the time to go to pray. His daddy, his brothers, his mama, nobody took the time to say, let's go pray about what Joseph is saying. What happened was the vision dealt with their emotional state. It dealt with their life not being in sync with God. So instead of them going and praying to the Lord about what Joseph saw, they got jealous. They said, who do you think you are that you think you better than us? And the vision was not saying that at all, as we know later on. The vision was saying that God was raising Joseph up to be a governor with king authority in a time of famine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we have people that God has raised up for this time of famine in the body of Christ. And I'm not sitting here saying that nobody's doing anything because I don't know that. God didn't, like, show me every last person on the planet of the earth. But I'm going to tell you what I do know. I see more people suffering than people being helped. So why is God silent? Everybody is being driven to pray to God for him to intervene for themselves. God is not a God of division. He's a God of unity. So he's waiting, and he's silent, number three, because of the division. He's waiting for the unity. Glory be to God. Joseph went through a process that did not look like it was going to benefit anything. But in the midst of his process, he excelled at every place he was placed at. Now, what's awesome about that is interestingly, he wasn't put in the good job. He wasn't the CEO. He didn't have the entrepreneurship. He was thrown into slavery first. He was sold as a slave, but initially his brothers wanted to kill him so the dream wouldn't come to pass. Ain't that like the devil? He want to kill you so the dream don't come to pass. Hallelujah. But Joseph walked through this process, and every place he was at, he was not mad. He glorified God. See, God had given him a prophetic mantle, and his mantle showed forth through the wisdom. So wisdom kept showing forth in every situation he was in. He seen a problem that needed to be solved. Hallelujah. God has graced some men and some women of God and given them financial wealth for this here season, but some of them have squandered it on buying all these possessions for themselves. But God didn't give them those possessions, that increase, that financial wealth for themselves. He gave it to them for a time of famine that would come. But they missed their call. They misinterpreted what God was saying. And so now the people of God are crying out to the Lord, and God is silent. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Blessed be the mighty name of the Lord. Is our Father silent because he's not a good God? No, he's silent because he's given time for men and women that he has foreordained for this time and season to rise up and do their job. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If your Father got to come and do your job, you know, in anywhere, you know, kids laugh at you. They say, oh, see, you couldn't even do that. You ain't old enough or big enough or man enough. You had to get your daddy. Your daddy had to come do it for you. And see, the thing about it, when the Father come do it, like I said earlier, you don't know how he's going to do it. Not how he's going to do it as far as it being a mystery, but how harmful it might be to you because he has to do it. We have storms. We have thunders. We have landslides. And people are praying and saying, God, what are you saying? You need to look at the answer. If you look around, you see the answer. God is not happy. He's not pleased. Glory to his mighty name. Why is God remaining silent? And in his silence, what is he saying? Glory be to God. The word used here, be still and know, means properly to cast down, to let fall, to let hang down, then be relaxed, slackened, especially the hands. It is also employed in the sense of not making an effort, not putting forth exertion. God's silence is be still and know I'm God. Just hold up. Don't worry about your situation. Ah, glory be to God. Don't worry about what it looked like. I got you. I got to deal with these over here that I assigned to something that ain't listening. If you notice, while God appearingly is not answering your prayer, you not hearing nothing, there's no intervention, a miracle didn't happen, you might have sowed a seed and expected a return the following week. It didn't happen. You might have went and sold and foreclosure was just about to happen, and you still got foreclosed on because God is dealing with those that he's already given. But he got you. And some people say, well, what kind of God is that? He got me, but, you know, I'm in slack or I'm in lack. The word said God is not slack concerning his promise. See, we have to deal also with our violations. What have we violated? What have we not done? Did we follow after those that God gave for a time of famine? Did we have the same type of behavior? Did we run around and squander and not prepare for a time of famine? Did we not, were we like Joseph's family and the nation of Israel? Because that's what they represented, his other brothers. Were we like the nation of Israel and was out of sync with God and God was speaking but we were not hearing? It's all around us. When you pray and call on God and he appearingly doesn't seem to answer, what is he saying? He's saying it's already here. He's saying, look around you and see my hand, see my workmanship, see my authority, see my power, see my majesty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is never not amongst us, the word lets us to know. Hallelujah. He is always present in the midst of us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, the world, this here word, also be still, would also express the idea of leaving matters with God or of being without anxiety about the issue. Stand still and see the salvation of God, Exodus 14 and 13. Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus 14 and 13. Once again, God is telling his people when in the midst of a traumatic situation, in the midst of turmoil, God once again is telling his people to stand still and watch what I do. Hallelujah. Moses answered the people because the people were acting out. They were crying, Lord, Moses, man, you brought us out here to the wilderness. We're going to die. You got some hollering, man, we were better in Egypt. At least we know we could eat and this and that. They was all selfish, just thinking of themselves. They wasn't thinking about God and how mighty he is. They didn't have the confession of the three Hebrew boys that I know God is able, and if he don't do it, it ain't going to change my confession. Hallelujah. They had changed their confession because they started to feel, hallelujah, what was not happening for them. They started to look at a vision that God did not say, which was the enemy facing them to destroy them. But God told Moses to tell the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Hallelujah. In a couple of places in Scripture, God talks about that, about you being still and not even having a fight. Hallelujah. We see the situation with Jehoshaphat in 2 Corinthians, Second Chronicles. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He began to get a word from one of the prophets, and God said to stand still, watch what I do to your enemy. And they began to slay and destroy one another. Hallelujah. But they had to sit there and wait. Glory be to God. Their position, hallelujah, was not progressed or decreased. It was a momentarily situation of waiting. I know I've heard someone express they almost feel like they in a time capsule. Like they don't feel like they're moving forward or backwards. And that's only because God is having us be still and know that he's God, because he's carrying out all of the things, hallelujah, on our behalf. He's working on our good. Anytime you call on your parents to come and intervene, hallelujah, you got to know they're coming with the excellent, righteous knowledge to carry out this situation. So when you call on Father God to intervene, he's going to intervene. And see, what's amazing is probably the time when you prayed and God answered you, he already told you what he was going to do. It didn't come quick enough, so you began to now start praying when things look troubling and he's not answering you because, number four, he already gave you the answer a while ago. You just forgot about it. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Stand still and see the salvation of God. In this place, the word seems to be used as meaning that there was to be no anxiety, that there was to be a calm, a confiding, trustful slate of mind in view of the displays of the divine presence and power. The mind was to be calm in view of the fact that God had interposed and had shown that he was able to defend his people when surrounded by dangers. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When you're surrounded by danger, when the world's want to come and get you, when people want to thrust you, and we're talking about the body. Hallelujah. This was the outside enemy, but as we read here in Psalms, we're talking about an inside enemy. Hallelujah. Jesus dealt with his fellow brethren that mistreated him, that took advantage of him. Same thing with Nehemiah and the people that cried out for him. It was the same way with Joseph. We are dealing with the body of Christ being judged by our Father because people are not doing the assignment that God birthed them for and gave them wealth for and increased them for. So others are trying to get in position to do something they ain't called to do. So we got a whole mix going on. Glory be to God. But the word lets us to know to be still, to relax. Hallelujah. Why is God silent? When God is silent, what is he saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He says, once again, the mind is to be calm in view of the fact that God had interposed and had shown that he was able to defend his people when surrounded by danger. If this, the divine interposition, when Jerusalem was threatened by the armies of the Syrians under Sennacherib, the force and beauty of expression will be most clearly seen. Hallelujah. He wants us to know that he's God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. Hallelujah. That is amongst the nations. The nations abroad that do not worship me, but worship idols, shall see in all these deeds the full proof that I'm the true God. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about the decrease of America. But America is a God country. We already seen the increases of God doing in Israel. Like, everybody know God's on their side. We see that. But we've never seen a decrease in America to where it looks like God is not on their side anymore. God is not on our side. Hallelujah. All nations are watching America. You know, we had a fellow billionaire on TV last night, and, man, he was just ripping up the president. You know, it looked like he just personally don't like him. I mean, he was ripping him up. He called him dumb, all those things. See, they lost the thought of God. Hallelujah. They don't know what God is allowing to happen. See, when you think higher of yourself than you ought to, pride is the thing that brings you down. Hallelujah. So America's image has to come down, but everybody's watching. Just like the nation of Israel, when they came down in their time, everybody was watching. And the people began to cry, Lord, our enemies, hallelujah, they will take advantage of us in this position. And God gave a command for them to correct themselves. And when they corrected themselves, God showed his mighty hand before the nations. It's a setup for God to exalt himself. My God, I will be exalted among all the heathen, hallelujah, all the ungodly nations that's talking what they're talking, hallelujah. We know, you know, me and my wife, we've been to India, and the government is ran by the Hindu, and we've been, you know, in places, well, not been, but places in China, you know, that their governmental structure is run on communism or it's run on Buddhism. You know, all these different countries are ran by different religious mentalities that are in the head of those governments. And God is saying, I'm going to show all of them that I am God, but I got to bring you down because right now you're showing them you. Glory be to God. They don't see that this is God's country anymore. They see it's yours. And look at what you've done to it. My God, glory be to God. So I'm a allow, as a matter of fact, I'm going to help you along, destroy it, so I can be exalted. Hallelujah. What I mean, help you along, I'm going to let all your enemies take advantage of your position. God always allowed the enemy when Israel did not do what God said. He allowed them to take their position. What is God saying when he is silent? Hallelujah. He's saying that I'm going to show and exalt myself in the midst of the heathens. They shall know I am God. Hallelujah. And lastly, in this verse says, I will be exalted in the earth, in the lands abroad, all over the world. The defeat and destruction of the armies, hallelujah, were eminently suited to make a deep impression on the world that the God of the Hebrew people was the true God. God is going to show forth that he is the true God, hallelujah, of the Christian church. Of the believers, hallelujah, of the messianic Jews, hallelujah, hallelujah, God's chosen people. But glory be to God, because of our sin, because of our disobedience, hallelujah, because of us becoming self-indulgent. You know, in Nehemiah, it talks about the people when they was in exile and they got into Babylon, hallelujah, they became wealthy, the Bible says, and they became self-indulgent. As a matter of fact, only a small portion actually went back to rebuild Jerusalem. Only a small portion went back there to live. The rest of them remained in Babylon making their money, getting rich. They didn't even really want to give to the rebuilding of it because they talked about how this generation was far away from the generation that experienced all the things that they had experienced. So they was the younger generation after the younger generation after the younger generation. So they was like, you know, we ain't affected by what y'all said that. We doing well. Hallelujah. So we don't need to go back there. Glory be to God. You have something to say, prophetess? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, Apostle, you know, as you tapped into that Nehemiah scripture where we see the focus on Nehemiah coming against the self-indulgent, you know, as I was listening to you, the Lord was dealing with me that we have to come against the spirit of selfishness right now. It's the spirit of selfishness that has taken precedence in the body of Christ. God, as we see in scripture, every great leader that God used, they operated in a selflessness, giving themselves, becoming like unto a sacrifice. for the restoration and for the benefit of a nation. When God dealt with Abraham and called him out of his country and away from his kindred in his old age and began to make promise to him of a seed, it was to make Abraham a father of many nations, of many people. God is after the masses. God wants to use you and I as a sacrifice. God wants to use you and I as a person of his, as a chosen generation to die to self, to give ourselves for the masses, for the multitude, for the nations. We see Esther positioning herself, being groomed by Mordecai to become the queen with a motive, and that motive was to save her people. You know, we go on, and of course, you know, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming, setting down all his deity rights, all the glory that he had on the throne, and coming as a man to walk and live in the earth as a sacrifice so that humanity might be restored into relationship with the Father. And so God is looking at us and declaring to us in his silence, as Apostle was sharing, God being, you know, silent right now. God is looking to us and declaring to us, what are you going to do with the seed that I placed inside of your life? The scripture says, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. It'll produce multiplied seed. It will produce trees of righteousness. It will produce after its own kind in greatness. And so we see, even as the Lord has been continually dealing with me over these past several weeks in Amos, and as we see in Amos chapter 4, the latter part of the chapter, verses 6 through 12, and the heading says the chastening of the Lord, we see the Lord declaring to us, will you look at what I'm allowing? And will you see that you still have not changed your position? You've not changed your heart. You've not turned back to me. God is dealing with the church in this hour. Judgment has begun on the house of God. We have a great responsibility because God has entrusted us with so much power and so much authority and so much capability to rise up as a true kingdom of his and represent him to the best advantage in this earth and to restore the lost, those that are lost, into the kingdom, those that are not saved, to bring them into salvation and rescue them from sin and destruction of the enemy. But we got to make a selfless sacrifice. We have got to come to a place where we say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about anything concerning me. It's about I have been created, foreordained, and chosen as a vessel of honor to bring glory to you, period. It's not about my five-year plan. It's not about my five-year goals. It's not about that. When God called your name and when God spoke you into existence, he had a plan to use you as a part of a mighty army, the army of the kingdom of the Lord, to bring in a great harvest, to usher in and raise up a people that will be difference makers, a people that are after the heart of God. God is love. You know, and in this hour, it's so unfortunate that we see it so scarcely in the body of Christ. You know, true love. You know, the Bible tells us in Corinthians 13 that love is not self-seeking. Love is not keeping a record that, you know what, I helped you last week or I helped you last month or that people over there, you know, they just won't listen to God. Love doesn't keep record. That's what the scripture says. Love is enduring. Love will endure with you. God endures with us. And God is silent because he's saying, I'm enduring. I am waiting on you to change. So the scripture says is in Amos, and you can study it on your own time, but in Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 12, God begins to go down a list of things that he himself is allowed to happen to the people of God. And he says that I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and it caused it to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and one piece whereupon is rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, yet you have not returned to me. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. He's saying, I allowed this, yet have you not returned unto me, said the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. And have taken away your horses and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me. I have even gone so far, he says in verse 11, to have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of you are just flatlined. You have felt like you just are totally disconnected from God. You have felt dead, numb. God says you were as firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. You have not, we have not as a body made a conscious decision to lay aside every, as Paul says, every sin and every weight that will so easily beset us. Everything that is worldly, everything that is of our own personal gain, everything that feeds from and stems from our own personal desires, we have not laid those things aside and said, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is going to be manifested in this earth, and I'm going to let God use me. That's the word of the Lord in this hour. God's silence is speaking something. God is speaking. God is saying, return to me. Return to me with your whole heart. Return to your first love. Covet, thirst, hunger after me and me only. And then I'll bring you into victory. Everywhere in the scripture where you study, where God raised up men and women of his choice, as they laid aside their own lives, God brought them into victory. And God preserved who? Not just them. Not them. God preserved the people. God preserved the multitude. And so God wants to do that right now because he's going to bring his word to pass. He's going to come back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's going to happen. The question is, will you be a part of it? That's the question. Are you going to be a part of it, or are you going to be like Lot's wife? Are you going to turn back, be looking and worrying and wondering about all that you could benefit and how you liked life before right now and how you liked it when you was in sin or how you didn't have trouble when, you know, it wears me out when I hear Christians talking about, you know, when I was a sinner, I didn't have all this trouble. Well, go on back because we don't need you half-hearted in this army. We need you to be totally sold out. Go on back. If you're going to keep looking back, God won't allow you to move forward with those who are going forward in full power and full authority with full purpose to accomplish the plan of God. So it's a great time right now, and, of course, we want to just open the calls. I've kind of extended my time, but we want to open the calls right now for those who are on the line who may want to comment, who may want to interject and share what the Lord has been saying in this supposed silence, you know, as the question was posed today by Apostle. What is God saying when God is silent? And so the lines are now open, and all that are on the call, you've been unmuted. And so praise God, you're welcome to come forth at this time.
Praise the Lord. Apostle Russ. One of the things what Apostle Dave was saying when he mentioned about Joseph, and I really started to just thought about how, like, say, Joseph, first of all, was after being, you know, thrown in a pit by his brothers and was said actually was going to kill him, but going through the pit to the prison, and then and all that whole process, God is causing people to see what he's already. He causes him being quiet, because just what we've been doing, if I've been praying the ABC prayer, I'm just using something to say, I've been praying the ABC, and the next guy been praying the BCDE prayer or whatever, and from all our different religions, houses, whatever, and now things ain't working. Those same prayers ain't working. It's like, God, where are you? And he say, and he's quiet. What he's doing? He's causing us to see what is working. So if I look over and see somebody who's over there in GH is praying something, or what they're doing is working, and like God is working for them, but it work, it's going to cause me, it's causing me to say, look into and look, listen, and what they're doing. Are they doing something different than I'm doing? Are they praying to somebody different than I am? Oh, well, no, they're praying to the same God. They believe the same and everything. Well, let me take a look and listen to what and see what they're doing, because it's causing people to, God is causing people to focus on, to see what he has placed in the land already. Because, as I said, those things, you know, what we've been looking, and God is quiet. And things are going on, and people, you know, they're shooting off their mouth, they're running off their mouth, or whatever you want. It just said, you know, you mentioned about the one man talking about the president. And I mean, that's not just the one. There's so many, you know, is doing just that. But they don't know what God is doing. And, you know, the ones who, you know, people who are professing, you know, who know God or are Christians and that. But we don't know what God's doing. And so, you know, because what we've been doing in the past isn't working, so it actually caused you to seek God and say, Lord, what do you want? And when God says, okay, if you know God so well, or know, if a lot of people feel we know him so well, well, wait a minute, if this ain't working, maybe I need to cry a little louder, maybe I need to seek him a little harder or whatever. And in what God is doing, he's causing us to see already what he's placed, because he's not going to change up what he already said. We have to come, like he says, you know, because sometimes as man, as we do, we think if we can pose a question different and come at a person in a different way, or we can plead with somebody, or we can get on their good side or whatever, they'll change up their mind or their attitude, or, you know, change their mind about what they said. But God's not man. And God's not going to, God doesn't function like that. What he says is what he said. And we have to come by what he says and not like how we think he said it, or how what we think he meant by it. God means what he means. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. That's the word right there. That is the absolute truth. You know, I was sitting here thinking as he was sharing, you know how, once again, you know, as me and my wife has had the opportunity, you know, because of our call to travel different places, and God actually let us sit in certain regions and just soak and get the feel of what's going on amongst the people. We're not sitting in the high chair and raised up so people act fake. We get to really see what people really are and what they really have and don't have concerning, you know, Christ in them. You know, what's awesome is that every time a famine came now, also God was preparing a people outside of that present church, so they would not be affected with the religious doings, the mentalities, or the operations, that they would purely hear what God is saying for that time now. Glory be to God. You know, even some men and women of God, one particular man that you know, is just an awesome thing, you know, being outside. Many people outside this country desire to come here as the way for their life to change. This is what America is known for, land of the opportunity. But, you know, God took this person into a whole different situation, and they actually affected the change of a government in such a manner. They lied on them. They tried to put them in court, and this stuff is still lingering, but the church is still moving on. Hallelujah. And so God makes his name and his reputation known and his power and his majestic authority known by taking something that's unnoticeable, hallelujah, and raising it up with notoriety by him. See, Jesus was unnoticeable, the word says. But it said he grew in stature and fame because God put the rising, he put the yeast, so to speak, in men and women of God's life. And just like the yeast go in, it sure can be taken out. Hallelujah. And so God is remaining silent, and in his silence, he is yet speaking. God doesn't have to say another word to us because he already has said everything that needs to be said. We just got to pay attention to the signs. We got to read the signs. When we drive down the highway, we don't just drive and look on the line or look down on the ground. We have to read the signs. We have to read the speed limit. We have to read the caution signs. You know, they got amber alert signs. You got all kinds of signs on the highway, and to be a good driver, to be successful, you got to know how to read the signs. Well, to be a successful believer, to be a true disciple of Christ, you got to know how to read the signs. Hallelujah. If you don't know how to read the signs, you don't make it. Done left the signs all up to let me be your personal private prophet. But then on the other side, you hear the echo, we got a prophetic generation. You got all these prophets and not so much prophet, but prophetic people, but nobody can see. They can't see the signs. Hallelujah. You know why they can't see the signs? Because they're busy crying to God to see for them, and so God is being quiet, saying, use what I gave you. See, a good father tell you, use what I gave you. Dad, I need $2 more. What did you do with the last stuff I gave you? You know, that's the story about the talents. He, you know, they had the talents, and one had 10, one had 5, and one had 1. Hallelujah. And so all the others, they multiplied, and the other one, because he had a selfish attitude, he claimed God to be God is a hard taskmaster. He said, man, you too hard, so I saved your stuff. I didn't do nothing with it. God described him as being good for nothing. And his next move was what? And wicked. And the next move that God did, he took what he had and gave to the one that was increasing. He gave to the one that increased his 10. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God blesses those that invest what he's given us. People trying to put that image, not trying, this is why we're messed up, the image. At least I've been in the body of Christ for 22 years. The image of money equating to God's investment has killed the sight of the church. You know, God gave me an analogy a couple of years ago when I had got blood sugar, and I didn't know that God was using me in an Ezekiel mentality. You know, it, for me it was just, you know, man, I got to take care of my body. But through the process, God showed me, because it happened a couple of times, and people were brought out of deliverance each time that it happened to my body. But what happened was this. God showed me that one thing that happens, showed me because it happened in my body. Hallelujah. That when blood, your blood sugar raises up, it attacks your nervous system, which the first thing that goes is your sight. See, the body of Christ, now I ain't even talking homosexuality, so some people don't get that image, not because I don't preach against that situation, but they had sugar that's been put into the tank of the church. Shobakata masaka. And you know, if you put some sugar in a car, you destroy it. Hallelujah. And so the blood sugar, God showed as identification that the blood of Christ was becoming of no effect because they don't put sweetener in it. And it already was good by itself. The word says, you know, one of the psalmists saw that the blood will never lose its power, right? So they done changed Christ's blood, and they done got a different kind of blood. Hallelujah. They're not preaching the blood of Jesus. They're preaching the blood of man. Oh, my God. Glory to his mighty name. So God is saying in his silence, did you read the instructions? Did you read the signposts? Did you chart your pre-trip? Did you do a pre-trip inspection? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Did you check your vehicle out and make sure it was operating adequately before you got on this road? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's right. That's all you. That's all you. So God is only silent, but yet he's saying something because he's just pointing the arrow. You know, when someone knows to do something, you got any children, and they, you done taught them something already, you done told them, and now they want to come ask you, what do? You just point. Well, where's the such and such? You already know it's in the cabinet. You just point. You don't tell them. You remain silent. You don't say a thing. Matter of fact, sometimes you ignore them. God is ignoring some folk today. Hallelujah. He's ignoring them. They're praying, God, this and that and that. And then they go into that. Well, God, you said you would never this and that. They try to throw that word back up to God, and God's just pointing. Do they see the sign? See, because our eyes are too big on what we want to possess. Wicked. I understand this greatly. When we talk about a wicked nation, a wicked generation, because people's eyes are full about things. And Matthew 6 makes it clear, God take care of the lily in the valley. He take care of the lily, the bird. Next time you feed some birds, think about how that bird getting fed. You the one giving them the supply. He ain't got to go work. He don't do no work. It's already supplied for him. I got into this revelation the other day. I dropped real quick. I was telling somebody, you know, if we're released from labor, because this is why God is silent. If Jesus released us from the curse that Adam had, which was of labor, and the scripture says that God, the one that pleased him, he gave wisdom, knowledge, and joy, and he gives the sinner to heap up and get wealthy, then people have a working mentality in the sense of you can't at the same time be a ruler and a peasant. You got to check which mentality you're going to have. And that's why God is remaining silent, because he's already given us the things that we need and that we already know to have. Hallelujah. Praise God. This has really been an awesome time today. I really thank God for pouring this word out and putting this understanding in us. Why is God silent? And in his silence, what is he saying? Hallelujah. He is telling us to do the things that we already know to do, that he's empowered us to do and correct ourselves. You know, ultimately, every time the children of Israel went out of place, God always gave a plan of correction. He rebuked them because he loves us, and then he gave a plan of correction. Hallelujah. God has given a plan of correction, but you know what he knows? People are still fighting, so they're being decreased. You just think about it like this, and I'm going to just make an analogy, and I'm going to close. $100 million ministry may be 20 today. Maybe. Just maybe, while they was trying to expand what they called the kingdom work of God, why would God decrease his own work that's expanded? Because maybe it was your work. Maybe it went from God's work to it became their work. They was like, man, God is telling me go here. God is telling me go there. God is so now I'm saying I can't go without your help, but how come you can't go if God sent you? That means he's not sending you no more. You need to check something. Find out why he's not sending you. Maybe some things you overlook. You know, I heard a well-known leader say one time, you know, he was teaching on family, and he was saying, you know, us as men of God, sometimes we overlook to spend time, proper time with our family. That's the way I look at the ministry of God, that men and women of God in expanding and promoting how, look at God is doing. He's blessing us, and man, and everybody bowing to them. They're a great man of God. Did they really expand based on God, or was it because of image? Hallelujah. We thank you for joining us today. Hallelujah. In our Lion Eagle Apostolic Network, acronym LEAN, based on 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. You can find us on the World Wide Web at socmi.net. That's SOCMI.net. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries, an outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries. On Sundays, we have the gatherings at 2 p.m., where we come together to enrich the lives and fortify Christian believers. And on Wednesday, we have the School of Wisdom. It's just plain and simple. It's no great great name. I ain't trying to figure out a new name, the market, or technique. It's what it is. It's the school of wisdom. It's God's school as he pours out the wisdom into our heart of understanding, and that's at 7 p.m. And all time in between, we're praying for the body of Christ, for key leaders known and unknown, as God sends us to fulfill his assignment to bring this church back into the unity that God has commanded. So once again, I thank you for joining us today. May you have a wonderful and glorious day. Grace, mercy, and peace.